Today's text is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We're focusing on the final exhortation from the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae, where he advises them on living a life that is worthy of the gospel's calling. Paul encourages them to live a life of prayer and to be witnesses for Christ. In verse 5 of today's text, he tells the Colossian congregation to act wisely towards non-believers and to make the most of every opportunity. This message applies to all of us. God tells us to take every chance to share the testimony of Jesus, the mystery of the gospel, and the grace of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 6, he tells us to share the testimony of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." He tells us to always speak and respond with grace. In verse 5, he tells us to act with wisdom, and in verse 6, he urges us to speak with grace. Both wisdom and grace originate from the same source, Jesus and the gospel of the cross. He tells us to always speak and respond with grace. In verse 5, he tells us to act with wisdom, and in verse 6, he urges us to speak with grace. Both wisdom and grace originate from the same source, Jesus and the gospel of the cross. The gospel encourages us to bear witness to the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the blessings of heaven, not only through our actions, but also through our words. Our conduct and speech are inseparable. Our deeds and words must align. In other words, we must bear witness to Jesus and our faith in heaven with our entire life. This is our purpose while we are living on this earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." It brings God joy to involve us in the work of salvation. God is pleased to call us His sons and to work alongside Him to fulfill His will. Therefore, He desires for us to have the heart of God the Father and the heart of Jesus, and to care for the lost children of God and our brothers and sisters. He wants us not only to receive and enjoy God's love and grace and the blessings of heaven for ourselves, but also to share them with those who do not believe. He permits us to participate in the life and ministry of Jesus, even in our actions and speech. He will save His people through us and wants us to share in the joy. This is our most blessed and glorious calling. We are children of God who have received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and have been born again in the image of Jesus. Since Jesus is the true Son of God, we also possess the life of a Son who resembles God the Father. And He allows us to grow in the image of the Father and the Son. This is the grace that the Holy Spirit begins and completes in us. Therefore, He commands us to testify to the gospel and testify to Jesus and God the Father. To do so, there is one to whom we must first look. God is the one whose actions and words are completely unified. Throughout the history of salvation, God has spoken and acted to accomplish our salvation. Every word spoken by God has come to fruition, and He has accomplished everything He has promised. The words of God are not merely words. They are a manifestation of His love for us. God demonstrated His love by sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, to offer Himself as an eternal atoning sacrifice for our sins. All of this has been revealed to us through the Bible, His written word. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, became one in action and word, and his life and words have become the gospel and our salvation. Jesus didn't come in the last days of salvation history just to deliver God's word. He humbled himself to become a man like us and obeyed God until death, accomplishing our salvation and becoming the content of the gospel and the beginning and end of our faith. None of the words of the Bible that God gave us were given without his work or Jesus' work. This will be the same in the future. God will fulfill all the promises in the Word with His conduct. The Holy Spirit will also work in us and accomplish our salvation according to the Word. God's Word gives us the utmost assurance, and in this Word, we can enjoy complete joy and peace. Please remember an incident that occurred in salvation history. In Exodus chapter 14, after the Israelites left Egypt, they faced a moment of great despair. The Egyptian army was pursuing them from behind, and the Red Sea blocked their path in front. In that critical moment, Moses spoke to the people saying, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today." God had promised to save the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and lead them to the promised land as their inheritance. Moses had unwavering faith that God will fulfill his promise. Despite the seemingly insurmountable obstacles, he urged the people to stand firm and witness the fulfillment of God's words. As a result, they witnessed the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, which allowed them to escape the pursuing Egyptian army. God struck down the Egyptian army that was following him, parted the Red Sea, allowed his people to cross, and covered the rest of the Egyptian army that was following him with the waters of the Red Sea. God is now declaring the same word to us. Even though the army of Satan is behind us and the sea of death and judgment is blocking us, even though we are now amid despair and discouragement on all sides, he tells us not to be afraid, but to stand still and see the salvation that Jesus is working for us today. Jesus has already saved us from the sea of death and judgment by shedding his blood on the cross, bearing our sins, and through his resurrection and ascension, he has defeated Satan and his forces and brought about a new exodus. He has given us the eternal kingdom of heaven, and he is still working tirelessly to lead us to heaven. Thus, he has fulfilled and is fulfilling all that he has promised us. Therefore, we believe and live by trusting in the God who acts to fulfill his words. To put it simply, we don't just have the Word of God. We have Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who continue to fulfill the Word and will fully fulfill it in the future. The essence of the Word is Jesus, and the entire Bible tells us about Jesus' arrival, his perfectly righteous life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the second coming. Every verse is connected to Jesus' conduct. Jesus and his conduct are our salvation and the gospel. Just as Moses proclaimed, we should not be afraid, but continue to have faith that our Lord is still working for us tirelessly. And do you know what an even greater grace is? God has given us the life of Christ. We have been born again as sons in the image of God like Jesus. Therefore, we ought to not only talk about our God with words, but also with our actions. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. John tells us to love our brothers not just with words, but also in deeds, just as Jesus showed his love through both words and deeds. God gave us the life of Jesus, who reflects the Father. Although our words and actions may not fully reflect Jesus and the Father, we should not forget that the Holy Spirit works within us. Through the Holy Spirit and the Word, our words and deeds can become more like those of Jesus and the Father. The work has been started within us will be completed. And in heaven, we will have the perfect image of Jesus and God the Father. Our words and deeds will be completely aligned. This is the faith by which we live, and it is our mission to bear witness to the reality of heaven. In verse 6, Paul focuses more on our speech when he talks about our conduct in verse 5. God is pleased to save his people through the grace of the gospel, which we bear witness to with our words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Apostle Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." God is pleased to save his people through the gospel that we preach with our words. He does this not only through the ministry of the church, but also through the testimony of the lips of all our saints. Therefore, it's crucial for us to know and testify to the gospel correctly. It is better to speak a few words with understanding than to speak many words without understanding their meaning. In today's text, we are reminded to be prepared to answer outsiders when they ask about the hope and grace of the gospel that we have in our lives. Even if we are not called to be gospel witnesses like Apostle Paul, we are still called to share about the hope and grace that we have in Jesus our Lord. As mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we are encouraged to answer those who ask about our hope as we serve and live with faith in Jesus. It's really important to remember that God does not want us to remain silent. He wants us to speak with our hearts, minds, will, words, and actions, expressing gratitude, hope, joy, contentment, forgiveness, and love. He desires for us to testify to Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven through every aspect of our lives. If someone claims to believe in Jesus but chooses to remain silent and does not testify to Jesus and the gospel in any way, they should seriously think about what they believe in. Furthermore, if the reason for their silence stems not from a lack of courage, but from a lack of heart, mind, or will to testify about Jesus, there is a big problem here. Jesus emphasized that. Ultimately, remaining silent is a form of denying him out of shame for both him and the gospel. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Mark chapter 8, verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Jesus said that those who are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of them in front of God. What does this mean, and who is he talking about? He is not talking about those who have the heart but lack the courage. We can find the context of his words in Mark chapter 8. When Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer and be killed, Peter tried to stop him. Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." In other words, Peter was ashamed of Jesus on the cross, so he tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, Peter not only remained silent in front of the people, but he actively denied Jesus three times. Being silent in this context means a heart that denies Jesus and the gospel. Through Peter, we can see the behavior of those who do not testify about Jesus and remain silent. These individuals eventually deny Jesus on the cross because they are ashamed of him. They consider the cross of Jesus foolish and do not want to talk about it because it is shameful. In other words, they want to deny Jesus because they believe he does not help them succeed in this present world. They are not content with Jesus, who provides heavenly blessings along with suffering. This is why they are ashamed of Jesus on the cross. They want to remain silent about him. Conversely, they want to praise Jesus who provides worldly success and not emphasize suffering. Similarly to what Peter did to Jesus, they criticize and oppose those who testify about Jesus on the cross. Mark chapter 8, verse 32 tells us that Peter tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He even scolded and criticized Jesus. Jesus made it clear that Peter's actions were influenced by Satan. Even today, if we only talk about Jesus on the cross, the world will criticize and oppose us. They will pressure us to also preach about a Jesus who conforms to the world. This resembles what happened to Peter when he was influenced by Satan and criticized Jesus as he was going to the cross. However, no matter how much people oppose and criticize us, we must not remain silent. We cannot be ashamed of or deny Jesus on the cross. As the Apostle Paul stated in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, we have nothing to boast about except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot help but testify about the heavenly blessings that Jesus gave us through his suffering until death. Moreover, there is a greater reason why we cannot remain silent. Is Jesus ashamed of us? Does Jesus find us so shameful that he denies us? The Holy Son of God should be ashamed of us sinners. He should deny all sinners and send them to judgment. But Jesus is not ashamed of us. He never denies us. He humbled himself to become a man to save sinners like us. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. He took upon himself the shame of our sins and was crucified naked on the cross like the worst of the sinners. He looks forward to the joy of being with us in heaven forever, takes upon himself our shame, and gladly acknowledges us before God the Father, saying that he knows us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. He became like us to save us, and because he loved us, he endured the cross without caring about the shame. How can we be ashamed of such a Lord? How can we stay silent and not testify of him? How can we deny him and live as if we do not know him? In verse 6, we are told to speak of him and answer about him with grace. The Lord still does this for us through his words and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should always listen to the words of grace that Jesus gives us. There is not a single word that Jesus says without doing it. Let us read the following verses spoken by our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John chapter 6, verses 37 and 44. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 and verse 18. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Dear saints, Jesus always speaks to us with grace. And when we ask him for answers, he responds graciously. He tells us to speak to the hopeless sinners who will face the judgment of hell. He tells us to tell them about the good news. He tells us to share that they can receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus' blood and be justified by Jesus' righteousness. When we speak to them, we should do so graciously and with wisdom, as if our speech is seasoned with salt, as mentioned in verse 6 of today's text. What does seasoned with salt mean? The reference to salt in this context symbolizes sharing the gospel wisely, in line with conducting ourselves with wisdom, as told in verse 5. One familiar passage that comes to mind when thinking of salt is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" Here, Jesus refers to the people of heaven living in this world as the salt. This reflects the reality of our salvation through Jesus. As believers in Christ, we are already like salt. Therefore, our words should also be seasoned with salt. When we look at the Septuagint, we see that salt is mentioned most frequently in the Old Testament. It is in the instructions for the grain offering sacrifice commanded by God. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. "You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt." When grinding grain into flour and making bread as a grain offering, God instructed to sprinkle salt on it while avoiding the use of leaven. This represents the opposite meanings of salt and leaven. Leaven symbolizes sin as it spoils, while salt symbolizes righteousness as it does not spoil. Therefore, a grain offering without leaven and sprinkled with salt signifies Jesus, who offered himself as a sinless and completely righteous sacrifice. Jesus presented himself as a true grain offering seasoned with salt, not only in his actions, but also in his words. In Jesus, we are offered to God as a true grain offering seasoned with salt, sinless and completely righteous. He has made us grow in our lives like Jesus. Therefore, being seasoned with salt means we are to speak like Jesus, who offered himself as a true grain offering. It is testifying to the pure gospel. It is preaching only Jesus on the cross and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. It is making known the love and grace of Jesus. And like Jesus, it is always speaking words with grace to everyone. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Dear saints, in the end, it is all about Jesus. Since Jesus gave us his life, he tells us to live as he did. To do that, we must first and foremost look up to Jesus and receive his gracious words. He urges us to let the words of Christ dwell within us abundantly. He also encourages us to speak and respond as Jesus did, with grace and kindness. As we participate in the Lord's Supper today, let us joyfully enjoy fellowship with him and proclaim his love and grace. Therefore, dear saints, do not be silent. be bold in testifying to Jesus, proclaiming his great love and grace to all.